Jesus of Nazareth was a minority, a rabbi, a healer, a teacher, and a radical. When he triumphantly brought his ministry to Jerusalem, an event which Christians celebrate annually as Palm Sunday, he brought hope to a persecuted people under a powerful empire. He brought the promise of something new, a new day, a new way of life grounded in justice and peace, and a love mightier and more powerful than any political power. Of course, this message of peace and love was disruptive and dangerous to the empire, and within a week, he was murdered by the state. Christians remember this event every year as Good Friday, the day Jesus' beloved teacher and healer was betrayed and brought down by his enemies. But this, people, is not the end of the story. Death, destruction, and evil are never the end of the story. You see, 3 days later, on Easter morning, three women went to Jesus' grave to anoint his body, to tend to the body of the teacher that they loved so much, only to discover that his body was not there. Now, I don't know what to make of this part of the story. I never have. What happened to his body? Where did it go? There has to be a logical and reasonable explanation, right? Or maybe it's just simply not true. So what is it? What is the logical, reasonable thing that we should do? What shall we make of all this resurrection business? It's taken me most of my life, and I'm still not totally there, but I try these days not to tie myself up into too many knots about it. I try not to get too hung up on the details and simply remain open to the truth that the story points to, that life prevails and love has the final say, not death or evil. So today I approach the story mostly with curiosity. I approach it with intrigue and I marvel at the poetry of it all. Whatever historical accuracy there is or is not, I honor the way in which the Easter story, miraculous and true or otherwise, has changed the course of human history. I marvel at the possibilities it suggests and the life that it opens in my soul. As Christian scholar Walter Brueggemann says, the Easter question is not whether you can get your mind around the resurrection, because you cannot. Rather, the question is whether you can permit in your horizon new healing power, new surging possibility, new ways of power in an armed, fearful world, new risk, new life, leaping, dancing, singing, and praising the powers beyond all our controlled powers. That's the question for Brueggemann. This is the message of Easter. New life, surging possibilities, healing power, and love on love on love beyond all else. Easter shows us that these things live on despite the efforts of oppressive regimes to squelch their power. It is impossible to kill them by killing the messenger. Theologies and movements of liberation resurrect and live on. Messages of hope and love resurrect and live on. In the scripture we heard today, we see the message of Jesus, of course, taking shape beyond his life. Peter is sharing the lessons of peace taught by Jesus and exemplified in his ministry of doing good deeds, healing people, serving others, specifically the oppressed, and lifting it up as a way of life for us all. Peter is speaking a religious revolution into being, long after the death of the one who first articulated it to him. We are invited to do the same. On this Easter morning, we are invited, each and every one of us, to carry on a radical message of hope in our own lives. We are invited to see new life and new possibilities in all things. We are invited to share love and work for liberation. We are invited to create a better, more just world. We are invited to remember our own power in making this so. We are invited, in the winter of our souls, to put forth new shoots and grow against all the odds. For as a Greek poet, Christinopoulos, once said, they tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds. We are invited this Easter to grow abundantly, even when it feels like all is lost. We are invited to celebrate this day, the Easter message, which calls us over and over and over again into life and right relationship and into creativity. This message, of course, found a voice in Jesus. As Unitarian Universalists, we listen deeply to this message and honor this call as it comes to us from the perspective of two of our six sacred sources. Our second UU sacred source, of course, invites us to affirm and promote the words and deeds of prophetic people, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. Our second source. And our fourth UU sacred source invites us to affirm and promote Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. The Easter message comes to us through these sacred sources across time and lives on. It echoes in our lives if we're listening for it. Bursts forth from the lives, missions, and legacies of countless other prophetic people and sages, including one I want to mention today, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. You see, this Wednesday, April 4th, 2018, marks the 50th anniversary of the death of Dr. King. Easter was central to Dr. King's faith. It spoke to him of the inevitable triumph of good over evil. In an Easter sermon he delivered in 1957 at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, King said that Easter ultimately demonstrates that love is the most powerful force in the universe. In other words, I would say, love wins. It says to us, King preached, that love is the most durable power in the world and is stronger than all of the military giants, all of the nations that base their way on military power. That radical Easter message cropping up in Dr. King's life. And like the message of Easter, Dr. King's message of love, justice, equality, and liberation was threatening to the status quo. And we all know that Dr. King was murdered on April 4th, 1968. But the story, friends, does not end there. Death and destruction are not the end of the story. The message of equality and civil rights that Dr. King championed continues. It's our turn now. It is our turn to live into it, to carry it forward, and to build a better world. Now, I suspect Dr. King would be mighty uncomfortable with the picture I just painted. I suspect that he would be upset that I made it seem like he is a martyr, that I told his story in such close connection with the Jesus story. I don't think Dr. King would have wanted that association. He was fully human, and he would want to be remembered as such, fully human and flawed. So let's be clear. We don't need Dr. King or anyone else to be a martyr. It is not our job to focus on and memorialize the messengers, but rather to take up the message and continue the work of liberation. I found a poem that speaks to this I want to share with you. Carl Wendell Hines wrote a poem about this sort of thing shortly after the death of Malcolm X. And this poem has also become associated with Dr. King. Now that he is safely dead, Let us praise him, build monuments to his glory, sing hosannas to his name. Dead men make such convenient heroes. They cannot rise to challenge the images we would fashion from their lives. And besides, it's easier to build monuments than to build a better world. So on Wednesday, when we mark the 50th anniversary of his death, let us not revere Dr. King as a hero only to reify and limit his radical, life-giving message. Let us not assume that monuments and national holidays do the work for us. Let us not lose sight of Dr. King's humanity and his real invitation to all of us to open our hearts wider, love more, treat everyone equally, and build a better world here, now. Of course, Jesus was human too, and it's good to remember his humanity. Christians, of course, have been wrestling with the nature of it since his death. But regardless of whatever theological position you take on the matter, fully human, fully divine, or somewhere in between, the resurrection story reminds us that you may kill the messenger, but you can't kill the message. The story lives on. It calls us to build a better world, not just monuments, not just churches to remember Jesus, but lives. Lives that pick up the work he called us to do to spread peace and love. And here's some good news for today. The good news is that we are not alone in any of this. We do not have to build a better world all by ourselves. We can do it together. And we have a partner. We have a mighty love known to us as mystery, spirit of life, universe, God, goddess, divine source, any other nickname you might have, infinitely more names, and no name at all. It is woven into the fabric of our lives, singing out to us through the voices of prophets and sages and healers across time, a message that will never die, a message of liberation that calls us into new life and new possibilities. Now, this interplay between life and death, suffering, and all of that is quite the quagmire, isn't it? It'd be much easier, of course, if suffering were banished and we would never have to experience the pain of Good Friday again. But for some reason, that's not how it is. I wish it weren't true, but bad things do happen and people suffer. I know today is Easter, but Good Friday will come again. But next time, when it does, please remember that it's not the end of the story. As Barbara Brown Taylor says, Christianity is the only world religion that confesses a God who suffers. It's not all that popular of an idea, even among Christians. We prefer a God who prevents suffering, only that's not the God we have got. What the cross teaches us is that God's power is not the power to force human choice or end human pain. It is instead the power to pick up the shattered pieces and make something holy out of them, not from a distance, but right up close. Easter people, we are invited into this work of picking up the pieces and creating something beautiful and good out of whatever life has given us. When it seems like all you feel or see is suffering, anxiety, or despair, if you ever start to think, maybe this is it, this is the end of the story, hang in there, all right? Hang in there. Something new is happening. Love and light, energy and rebirth will come again. They always do. Today is the day we get to celebrate this truth. Easter Sunday is the day we remember it. We remember our own potential and magnificence. Celebrate the triumph of life over death. Take up the message that love is mightier and more powerful than any political authority. And trust that liberation is coming. Can you feel it? Spring is bursting forth all around us and deep within our weary souls. Life is claiming this day as its own. Love is writing the next chapter of your life and our world. The story is unfolding. The message lives on. So let us open our ears to the song, wipe our winter bleary eyes, shake off the cobwebs, and renew life's promise. The promise of Easter, the promise of liberation, life, and love abundant. May this be so. Amen, and blessed be.